Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I hope everybody down in the U.S. had a very nice July 4th long weekend. Shad and I are back, and in this daily editorial, we are providing an update from FPX Nickel, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FPX, and on the OTC markets under the symbol FPOCF. We are chatting with Martin Turan, president and CEO of FPX Nickel. Now, Martin, a couple news releases to touch on. We're going to take the most recent one first. That's the June 29th release. It just discusses the commencement of exploration at the Dakar Nickel District. That's the company's flagship project in central BC. Now, it's a two-part drill program, some drilling at the Baptiste deposit. This is an infill program to convert some of the inferred ounces, and also new exploration at the Van target. Let's start with the Van target here. 9 holes, 3,000 meters. We've touched on this Van target before, but Martin, I know you're excited to get on the ground here. This is one of the biggest drill programs in almost a decade from the company. Take us through the overall strategy here, especially at Van.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me on. So yeah, Van is definitely part of the program that we're most excited about. So just to reorient everyone, the Baptiste deposit is already the world's third largest undeveloped nickel deposit. It sits at the southern end of our land package at Dakar. 6 kilometers north of that is what we call the Van target. Now, that's a very large area that's been defined by prospective magnetic surveys, both airborne and ground-based magnetic surveys, as well as prospective sampling of outcropping bedrock. So we know the nickel is sticking up out of the ground here over an area that covers around 3 square kilometers. So that's actually larger in scale than the footprint at Baptiste. So we do see the potential with the Van drilling, the first drill drilling that we're doing this summer, to delineate another very large ore body there. And yeah, very happy to announce that we've initiated that drill program. I, along with some of my colleagues within the management, was up at site this week, and that work is progressing very well. And again, we're just really excited to get those first holes put into Van this summer.
Well, Martin, on the Van target, it is very exciting, because if the footprint of it is as large as Baptiste, or larger actually, what would it mean for the company if you actually, and I know it's early days, but if you actually start drilling this and you realize, hey, this is going to be the same grade, maybe even a little higher grade than Baptiste, but it's such a large footprint. I mean, it seems like what you're building here is almost a district scale nickel thing. How could that shape the future of the company?
Yeah, well, we've been saying for a while that we think the potential nickel endowment at Dakar overall is something that ultimately will rival the Sudbury mining camp, to put it in the context of a obviously very well-known Canadian nickel mining area. If we have the success that we hope to with this Van target drilling, and we're able to sort of delineate, you know, the broad outlines of a mineral deposit, it's something that could allow us to really shift potentially our development plans. You know, Baptiste, we've shown already, is highly economic on its own 2 feet. The drilling we've done there in past years, and the economic study that we put out in September of 2020 showed that at today's nickel price, you know, the Baptiste deposit can generate, you know, upwards of $400 million US of cash flow over a 35-year mine life. So this could be one of the world's largest and most profitable nickel mining operations. You know, if Van is shown to be bigger and or higher grade, does that become potentially the 1A deposit with Baptiste becoming 1B? Or is there a scenario in which both are being developed at once? There's a lot of really interesting possibilities that can be opened up by success at the Van target. And so before we move Baptiste too much further along into the preliminary feasibility study phase, we owe it to ourselves as a company to understand what we have at Van, and frankly, what we have elsewhere at the project as well.
So Martin, since this is just the initial drill program here at Van, it's 9 holes, 3,000 meters, as I said, what's going to be considered a success? What should investors be paying the closest attention to?
Yeah, so this is going to be, you know, a relatively small number of holes, 10 holes, 3,000 meters total of drilling is what's planned. So each hole would be in the range of 250 to 350 meters on average. The important thing to know is that we are doing these on very, very wide spacing. And so, you know, holes will be covering really just about the entire extent of that 3 square kilometer area that's been identified by that outcropping bedrock. And so while 10 holes and 3,000 meters doesn't sound like a lot, given the highly homogeneous nature of mineralization here and of that disseminated style of nickel mineralization that we target, this number of holes could actually prove up sort of the shape, the broad outlines of a potentially mineable deposit. So we can be very efficient in having kind of a conversion of, let's say, meterage to tonnage. And we don't have to pinhole cushion our drill holes in order to prove up tonnage here. So we can start to, on the basis of an initial program for a very, very limited spend, start to get the understanding of the shape of a potential ore body here.
How quickly could you build to, let's say, an initial resource at the Van target?
Yeah, I mean, conceptually, at least in terms of an internal model, that could be something that could be developed on the basis of this season's program alone. You know, but certainly, you know, far too early to be talking about sort of a resource estimate in the public domain on the basis of just a single field season. But the point being that, you know, 10 holes can actually start to give us a really good sense of the shape here.
So, Martin, regarding that drilling at Baptiste, then the 10 holes, 2,700 meters, as I mentioned, really working on converting that inferred resource. Take us through how much is in the inferred category for this conversion.
Yeah, so of the tonnage that is modeled in the 35-year mine plan in the Baptiste PEA, about 89% of that is already in the indicated category and only 11% in the inferred. So that drilling, that Baptiste drilling that you've mentioned there this summer, is aimed at converting that remaining 11% of inferred material to the indicated category. So again, not a lot of meterage required to do that. And again, it speaks to the very homogeneous nature of the mineralization here, which allows us to be really efficient in our spend in converting tons from category to category.
Well, and Martin, I know you're not planning on doing any drilling at the B or SID targets, but could you briefly mention the groundwork that'll be going on there too, just as another element to this land package where you're looking at the gap between the B and the SID deposits? What kind of groundwork will be going on there to kind of look at targeting for future drilling?
Yeah, so almost all the historical drilling in the project to date has been at Baptiste. In the past, there have been a total of 3 holes put in the B and SID targets, so cumulatively between those two targets, 3 holes, all 3 of which intercepted strong nickel mineralization, you know, well above the average ore grade at Baptiste over very long lengths. And so the groundwork this summer, in part, will be to understand some regional mapping and sampling between B and SID to understand if there's the potential for those areas to actually be connected subsurface. And beyond that regional work will also be focused on 5 other very large areas to do more regional mapping and sampling to see if we can identify other drill ready targets. And what we're seeing there is that conceptually, you know, any of those 5 could have the same scale potential as we already see at Baptiste and Van. So that really speaks to my point earlier about the tremendous opportunity for, you know, really expanding the nickel endowment here at Descartes beyond what is already sort of a world-class scale that we've already demonstrated.
What would be potential time frame for getting a drill on some of these other targets, whether it's SID, whether it's the B target, or these 5 other underexplored areas that you outline in that press release?
Yeah, those won't be a focus for drilling, certainly for us this year, but certainly from 2022 onward, it is something that we would seriously look at. But again, it'd have to be based on what we see in the ground truthing that we're going to be doing at those areas this summer.
Fair enough. Doing the work to build it up to the drill-ready status, but it sounds like you guys already have this very interesting Van target. Let's also talk about the June 21st news release. You appointed a VP of Projects. This is Andrew Osterloh. former project manager of studies for Floor Canada. Give us a little background on Andrew, please, and how he's going to help move this company forward and continue to de-risk this, especially Dakar asset.
Yeah, I'm really excited to add Andrew to our team. So he will be the senior most sort of technical person in charge of and across all aspects of the project exploration and development for years to come. He joins us. He's a BC boy. He has experience working at the Huckleberry Mine, the Eskay Creek Mine, and most recently spent many years with Fluor Canada. So investors may not be familiar, but Fluor is one of the preeminent, really gold standard, if you will, mining, engineering, and construction firms out there. They typically only work with mid-tier and major companies. They don't do a lot of work with junior companies, frankly. Andrew has been responsible for, you know, advancing projects through PEA, PFS, bankable feasibility study for some of the largest companies in the world, like, you know, Freeport-McMoRan, Glencore, Teck, Newmont, et cetera. And he's his specialty has been on very large-scale projects of the type that we have at Dakar. So we're very excited to add him to our team. I think of it as a real get for a company of our size, still a relatively small company, to attract someone with that real senior company experience across a number of projects where there's a lot of learnings there from his past that we can then leverage in to advancing Baptiste and the wider project that we have at Dakar. So really excited to add Andrew to the team.
Okay, so it's really just all about continuing to not just advance the asset, but also build the team, right? And that's a critical part for this company, because you have run a very tight and lean ship in the past, right? But now that the market has picked up, and in all fairness, the company has really started to take off here, it's time to build out that team. Can you take us through that transition the company's going through?
Yeah, it's an important transition, and I think it's one, frankly, that a lot of junior companies can sometimes fail at, that transition from true just kind of exploration and drilling and 100% focus on geology through to kind of project development, through economic studies, through work with local communities, and all of the engineering work that goes into developing these mining assets or these mineral deposits into mines. And that's why we're all here. We're not here to find mineral deposits. We're here to find mines. And so for us, adding someone like Andrew really shows, I think, our ability to attract the right people to that, to our team, to make that transition from exploration to development. And for me personally, yeah, adding someone of Andrew's caliber and experience, you know, hopefully frees my time up a little bit to be more involved and kind of and to spend more time in advancing the company's overall strategy towards what we think is an ultimate exit to a larger company as we continue to de-risk this project.
Okay, Martin, appreciate the update. I will post a link below this interview to the FBX website where you can read over some of those recent news releases. And please send us any questions you have for Martin regarding anything going on at FBX. You can reach me at fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. I'll post those below this interview. Martin, I appreciate the update. Thank you for your time. We'll follow up on the back of some more news.
Great. Thanks very much, guys.